Amen. Is it on? It's on. Amen. Amen. I do greet you in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It is it's an absolute honor to be here.
Amen.
It really is. Anytime I get a chance to speak, I do so. I pray and always fast and try to talk to God about what I should say. And I will tell you, I'm a naturally goofy person. And every time I speak, I say, Lord, please help me to be serious, please. So I'm not sure what you're going to get tonight. Amen. Praise be to God. But I do love the Lord and amen. And really just give an honor to your pastor and the first lady. And amen. Praise God. Brother and Sister Schumacher, who I've loved for many, many years, in their absence, the great, great people of God. But I you know, I am a great person. I'm a person who likes to sing. Now, I'm not anointed to sing. I make a joyful noise. But I would tell you, this young man, I'm sanctified jealous of you. Amen. He not only can play, he can sing. I was like, God, that's so not fair. Amen. You've given me this raspy voice, and this dude get all of that. Amen. Praise be to God. But I, honestly, as I was talking to God, I won't be before you long. And God did speak to me and said that you will minister more than preach, because preachers are a dime a dozen.
Right.
I learned that from Brother Stone King years ago. And as I was aspiring to be, actually fighting against God to go into the ministry, I didn't want to, amen? I worked closely with Bishop Frank Tamil, and I thought, no way I could do this. I don't even like people, amen? And so I did not want to be a preacher, much less a pastor, I really didn't. And but I remember Stone King saying, preachers are a dime a dozen. We need people to know how to minister the word of God, amen? I have a lot of people. I teach at a local Bible college, and I see preachers all the time, and they're preaching everything but the word of God. Amen. But we want to make sure we stick to the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So quickly, I want to bring your attention to Genesis chapter 47, verses 1 through 11. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the spirit of Goshen, the spirit of Goshen. And as I really began to study this years ago, and I began to look up the name Goshen. There's many different names, but one of the names is drawing near. And God began to deal with me about what are you drawing near to? We can draw near to many things. There's a lot of things attracting our attention today. Amen. I've been teaching school for nearly 30 years, and I teach high school math. I absolutely love it. And I teach in the inner city. I will tell you, I quit every day. I literally quit every day, only to go back loving the kids. Amen. I really ask for your prayer, because I do teach at a Lutheran school, and they got a Pentecostal math teacher. They told me we're not supposed to speak in tongues. Oh, well. I'm not even sure how they got my information. I always say, you called me, I didn't call you. I didn't apply for the job. You get what you get, amen? But as I see those young kids, as I get a chance to pray for them, last year, I asked the kids, we do like a devotion right before class, right before we start teaching, and I asked, have anybody ever been angry at God? Just know why. No one said anything. None of my freshmen, they weren't too intimidated. And I said, yeah. I said, I think I've been disappointed at God before. I said, I'm wise enough not to be angry.
Right.
I don't want to be like Sister Job and say, curse God and die. Amen. But I was disappointed at all the cancer, all the sickness, all the stuff, death of loved ones, and this thing, and you're living for God, and you're paying your tithes, and you're doing all this stuff. Nothing seemed to go right sometimes. So I told them that. And one young man said this to me, and I just was blown away. He said, yes, I'm angry at God. My dad died like January of 2017, and then his mom died April of the same year. Then another girl said, I'm angry at God. My dad was shot and killed in front of us. His blood splattered onto me. Then another guy said, my dad was shot a year ago. Oh, this is all one class. I didn't know what I was getting into. Whew. Something hit me. And I said, bow your heads. And I had somebody in there observing me, making sure I'm being the good teacher. So I began to pray. And this thing came to me, drawing near. And I remember this message, the spirit of Goshen, drawing near. So I began to lift my hands. I began to just call on God. And before I knew it, the tears came. And then a girl in the back screamed and said, I don't know what I'm feeling. Something just feels like church. What started off to be a five-minute devotion turned out to be 20 minutes, three kids filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. I didn't lay hands on anybody. It was all Jesus, so they couldn't fire me. Amen? Praise be to God. My point is this. If you draw nigh to God in the midst of all your trials, all your tribulations, all your situations, he will draw nigh to you. Amen? Praise be to God. Let's lift our hands. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your holy name. Truly, oh God, there's none like unto you. I pray, oh God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, I didn't come here to preach, but I came here to minister, oh God, to those that are broken, oh God, to those hearts that are wounded, oh God, to those, oh God, who may not understand, oh God, what all is going on in their lives, oh God. But I pray, oh God, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, oh Father God. I pray, oh God, in your mighty name, that we push back the spirit of darkness, anything that would come against us, oh Father. God, as I walked into this place, and as the brother here was already worshiping and leading, oh God, I felt your anointing. I felt the angelic host. God, you confirm, oh God, through my wife, oh God, that there's angelic hosts here tonight. They are here to minister. They are here to touch. They're here to touch the brokenhearted, oh Father. God, in your mighty name, oh God, loose us, oh God, that we might receive, oh God, what you have for us today. Oh God, we magnify you. Come on, lift your voice one more time to him. God, we glorify your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know we normally stand for the reading of the word, but I've been having you stand so long, so why don't you just have a seat, and I appreciate it. Praise be to God. I should know your name, young man, but I always forget it. But don't go too far, because you never know where the Holy Ghost is going to go. Amen? We might have to take a praise break. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I've learned in the midst of all kinds of trials. I remember when they first told me I had cancer and I had 3 months to live. And I excused the doctors. I said, can you step out for a minute? I thought if I'm going to die, I might as well die praising God. Amen? I knocked over everything, just worshiping God. And they ran in and said, what's wrong? I said, give me a couple of more minutes. I ain't done yet. And I thought, if there's anything I'm going to do, I don't understand cancer. I don't understand any of this. I'm an educated person. I have a PhD. I'm educated, but I don't understand that. But I do understand worship. I do understand drawing near to God. I do understand getting a hold to God. In the midst of all the trials and tribulation, that I do understand. Amen. So if I don't do anything else tonight, I hope you are drawn closer to God. But in Genesis 47, we read verses 1 through 11. It says, and Joseph came into Pharaoh and said, my father, my brethren, and their flocks, and their herds, and all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land where we are. For thy servants have no pasture. Excuse me with this mic, I'll get used to it. For their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servant dwell in the land of Canaan and Goshen. And the Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. Isn't that wonderful? The best of the land. God does give his people the best. Amen. But there, we can't get too comfortable. He said, in the land of Goshen, and let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of my years, my pilgrimage, you know what I'm trying to say, Lord Jesus, feel like I'm speaking in tongues, are 130 years, and a few evil have the days and the years of my life been. And have not obtained unto the days of the years of my life and my father in the days of my that's it. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out before the Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best land, in the land of Ramses, as the Pharaoh had commanded. As I began to read that and God began to deal with me, I said, God, the Pharaoh gave him the best, well-watered lands. He put him in Goshen, where Jacob, you know, Joseph put him in Goshen, where there was land flowing of milk and honey, and it was just great. It was awesome. And God gave them this great thing. But the people of God got comfortable. You remember the story how there rose the Pharaoh and the people who knew not Joseph in the story? And he began to put taskmasters over them, right? I began to think about this. Goshen, drawing near. God allowed some things to happen. Maybe you're different than I. But I thought once I get baptized in the name, once I got the Holy Ghost, as Bishop would say, there'll be no more flat tires or mosquito bites. But I go to family camp every year. Generally, I wear a bald head. There are still mosquitoes. They love bald head black men. Amen. Mosquitoes still exist. Amen. I'm going to try to be serious. I'm sorry. Flat tires still happen. And I thought, man, but I'm living for you, Jesus. I do everything right. I'm dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I'm doing everything. These things are not supposed to happen, right? God didn't promise us that things would be perfect. I did that. I just thought, coming from where I came from, gotta get better than this. And it did. I often tell people God snatched me from the inner city of Milwaukee, threw me in Oak Creek. I was there for 21 years, and God threw me back into the city. But while I was there, I got comfortable. Padded pews, great singing, great preaching. Man, we had Stone King, Billy Cole, Jeff Arnold. My God, men winner. Woo! And all the while, Brother Portman, God was dealing with my heart to go back into the city. And I'm like, nope, that ain't the Jesus. Nope. I'm comfortable. These padded pews are so good, Jesus. And they got central air. You know Joseph, the dreamer? I often tell people he had five P's in his life. He went from Poppy's house. Yo estoy moreno, pero yo hablo español poquito. I'm a black dude, but I speak Spanish a little bit, amen? So Joseph went from Poppy's house to the pit to Potiphar to the prison before he ever made it to the palace. Have you ever noticed the people of God, how they all went through things? Just think about King David. King David's father didn't even know he was raising a king in his house. Didn't even recognize it. In fact, after Samuel was there, he was like, do you not have another? And the father was like, oh yeah, the little smelly dude in the, no, not him. Not only that did he come, but as Samuel anointed him, guess where David went? He didn't go to the palace. He went back to his sheep. Are we going somewhere? So Joseph the dreamer, remember his dreams that he had hit the sheaves and the other ones bent down to him, his brothers? They didn't like the dream. But Joseph was just telling them what God said. Then he had another dream, I believe. He was talking about the moon and the stars and all that other kind of stuff. And then they like, not only do you think we're going to bow down to you, but mom and dad, are you kidding me, bro? I'm sorry. Brother. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Some of the inner city lingo might come out. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh, man, I always tell people you can take the boy out the hood, but it's hard to get the hood out the boy. Amen. I'm going to do my best. Brother Portman is thinking, whoa, Lord Jesus, is this you? Are you sure? Amen. Praise God. And Joseph, it is amazing. It is just amazing to me, his story. How he went through all of that. And he was still in the perfect will of God. Snatched from his mother and his father. Thrown in the prison, in the pit. And this is the funny thing. It wasn't by some hooligans. It was his brethren. My God. We should feel safe in the house of our brethren. But sometimes it's them who put us in the pit. Amen? So God knows when you begin to talk about your dreams and your visions, everybody don't see it. In 1988, God gave me a dream. My family used to call me the dreamer. As a kid, I used to have these dreams that I was standing in front of people, but I thought I was going to be like Dr. King. And I used to tell my mom, I don't want to get assassinated. She was like, who are you? I just kept having these dreams. Unbeknownst to me, it was preaching. I didn't know it at the time. I thought it was going to be somebody doing something great in the city, help to bring the people, help our people to get educated and all this other kind of stuff. But I didn't know that it was preaching. In 1888, I had this dream. And in this dream, powerful things was happening. We were downtown. The power of God was moving, just moving. And I ran to the preacher. Before I got there, I woke up. About a year and a half, 2 years later, I had the very same dream. So I remember, because I'm a little ADHD. No, I'm a lot of ADHD, amen. Oh, man, I remember when I was so hyper in school, the teachers would say, I'm going to call your mother. I would get a powerful revelation. My mother, they wanted to put me back in the early 70s on this thing called Ritalin, and my mother said, no, I got one pill. And she used to say, boy, this one is hard to swallow. So when I was acting up in school, they would say, Miss Newell, I would say, whoop. Man, I would get an A, amen. Because I couldn't swallow that pill, amen. But I had this dream, and I said to myself, this is a dream. Run to the preacher. Right when I got there, I woke up. I woke up, I said, Jesus, it's not fair. Who is this? This is revival happening in Milwaukee. About 2 or 3 years later, from the first dream to the last dream, about 5 years difference. And that last dream, I said, God, please let me see the preacher. And I ran to the pulpit. I mean, there were people all over like Corwood, receiving the Holy Ghost, getting baptized in Jesus' name, all kinds, being healed and delivered. When I ran to the preacher, I went and turned them around to shake his hand. It was me. And I began to tell people that, and they were like, you? Preach? Really? Yeah, what were you smoking? Did you eat pizza? Probably with some red rice and beans and some chuletas and arroz y gandules and pasteles. But no, I wasn't smoking anything. And Brother Portman, for years, people fought me. Remember May of 2021. I believe it was. We had something called Save Our Nation. That was the exact dream that I had. My point is that God has given some of y'all some dreams, and because it hasn't happened, you stop drawing near. You stop talking to God. Oh, I'm going somewhere with that. You see God have revival in this great city, in this great church, and because maybe you haven't seen it yet, hold on. You might be in the pit. You might be with Potiphar. You might be somewhere, but you will get to the palace. You will, that dream will come to pass. The problem is we got to keep dreaming. We got to keep holding on. We got to keep believing God for what he has said. Amen? But listen, Every time God give you a dream, I learned this, that every time you have something from God, you have this vision. Then it seemed like the vision died. But you got to keep holding on and believe in God, because if God said it, it shall come to pass. You're not on your time, you're on God's time. And I'm going to tell you, if God said it, church, it's going to come to pass. I hope to God that you can see every one of these pews filled, all the people in Racine County being filled with the Holy Ghost as God said it. You've got to believe him and not give up because something has happened. Let me tell you, if God said it, it shall come to pass. Regardless if you believe it or not, it will come to pass. Yay, verily. First time I had the dream was in 1988. The last time, I think it was in like 92 or something like that. But it did, and it came to pass in God's timing. Joseph had these dreams, but his brethren was against him. Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house. Notice every time you have a dream, the brethren may not understand it, but you end up in Potiphar. Potiphar represents temptation. Remember, Potiphar's wife pressed him every single day. But he maintained his integrity. If God has spoken to you, if God said he's going to heal you, if God said he's going to put your marriage back together, if God said he's bringing your kids back to church, if God said it, I don't care what goes on, you believe God. We got to be like Abraham, who didn't even think about how dead he was, or the what the Bible says, the oldness or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded. He didn't stagger at the promises of God. He was fully persuaded. Listen, that man was 99 years old, and his wife was 89 years old, and Abraham said, because God said it, doesn't matter what it looks like, I don't care what's going on, it doesn't matter the circumstances, if God said it, it shall come to pass. And you've got to believe God, that if God has spoken to you, if God has given you a dream, you must draw near to God, you must draw near to him. You can't let go, and don't believe anybody. I'm telling you, everybody don't see your dream, because God didn't give it to them, he gave it to. I wish you could see what I see. Some of you believe me, and some of you are like, well, I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to talk to you about what God gave me. Amen. You got to take what you hear and mix it with your faith. Hallelujah. I take full advantage of being a big black dude. Not a whole lot of people mess with me. Amen. I go places where no man go. Amen. I walked the city at 2, 3 in the morning before I got married. My wife won't let me do that now, amen? But that was my ministry. I call it my Pookie Ray Ray ministry, amen? Somebody got to reach Pookie and Ray Ray, Shaniqua, Tanika, Tanaka, somebody got to reach them. Lord have mercy. Some of y'all like, I can't. Yeah, I can say that, amen. Some of y'all can't, but I can, amen? Amen. I'm having too much fun. Amen. But my point is this. This gospel's for everybody. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what you look like. This gospel is for everybody. But something happens in the midst of it. Trials and tribulations and offense causes us to withdraw. We don't pray like we should. Some of us stop coming to church. Some come to church and we're just a shell of what we used to be. Just a shell of what God has promised us. Because of all life situations. Maybe it's just me I'm talking to. But I can tell you one thing. After all the trials and tribulations, the reason why I'm still here is because I kept drawing closer. I didn't know anything else. When the cancer came, all I knew was worship. Amen. When death came, all I knew was worship. When trials and tribulations came, all I knew was worship. I just kept drawing closer and closer and closer to God. The spirit of Goshen. Goshen is where the Pharaoh told God's people that they can rest, that they can have pleasure and they can enjoy themselves and the famine and different things like that. Listen, saints, God would allow you to go certain places during a famine, but he doesn't want you to get comfortable there. Some of us have gotten to a place of God. We've been established. We've been living for God for 30 years, 40 years, and we got this. The kids used to say at school, popping their collar. I'm still not sure what that means. But they feel good about this. I've come through the hard times. I've been serving God. Sometimes at my church, if I hear another person say, I've been serving God for 42 years. Praise the Lord. I'm like, really? I hope when I'm 42 years old in the Lord, I'm hoping I'm not like that. A stick in the mud. Because if you've been saved for that long, you ought to, if nobody else, you ought to be able to pick them up and put them down and give God some glory. Then lift your hands and magnify. Because you've seen God heal. You've seen God deliver. You've seen God. You don't get comfortable in God. You keep drawing near to God. You keep pursuing God. You keep going after him. Amen? I don't ever want to get to the place where I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've been serving God for 38 years. 1985, July 28th or something like that, a Sunday night. 1 month after high school. I was 19 years old. I was a year behind. So I graduated at 19 years old. And someone invited me to this crazy, crazy Pentecostal church. Now, I was going to a Catholic church, and it was in Spanish. It was, I knew Jesus Cristo. I never learned how to do the sign of the cross. But I was sitting in that Catholic church, and it was in Spanish. And I was just crying. Did not understand that I was going after God, or God was coming after me, I should say. But they invited me to y'all crazy selves. Now, mind you, the night before, I was just at the club breakdancing. Jerry Curl juice in my eyeballs. I couldn't see. Some of y'all know what a Jerry Curl is. Oh, yes. I used to have hair, believe it or not. And I went to this crazy, and all I remember, the minute I touched the door to go inside, I started weeping and crying. Didn't know what it was, but I liked what I was feeling. And then I asked the people who brought me, can I come back tonight? They were like, sure. Then I said, can I come on Wednesday? Mind you, I didn't understand you all. My first service at one of y'all churches, y'all gave me, y'all gave it to me. Crazy. And this is not exaggeration. They were singing that song, God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. And they got the winding this thing up. And then this petite little lady in front of me. Then all of a sudden she screamed and took off. A heel went left and a heel went right. That Pentecostal poof fell. Bobby pins, pew, pew. And she ran around the church. Now I'm from the hood. Now I know crazy. That was crazy. But I liked what I was feeling. And then this is the neat part. After it was all over, said and done, she kind of gathered that hair and sat down. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Okay. These folks are cray cray. They crazy. But you all, I liked what I feel. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever change on who you are. We are one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling, Bible-thumping people. Don't you ever change that. The world needs what we got. You better draw nigher to God. Get closer to God. Get close to him. Don't get away from him. It's not time right now to leave and turn your back on God. It's time to go full forward, straight ahead. Go after him. Pursue him. Go after God with everything that you got. Go after him. Listen, I teach in a school, and I'm telling you, even though it's a Christian school, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm watching girls walk through the halls holding hands, kissing. I'm watching young men do things that young men shouldn't be doing. And they got to be careful, but I don't. Hallelujah. I'm not politically correct. I know we're supposed to be as preachers, but I am not, and proud of it. I know a young lady who started at the new school who had a kid to come to class. And the mother, this was her first year teaching there, just happened just a few months ago. And the little boy, she said, well, hi, what's your name? He said, I'm a cat today. So she was like, meow, first grade. She was playing with him. And the mother comes with a cat litter box and said, he's a cat today. He needs to use the restroom in the cat litter. She's like, oh, my God, they're taking this really far. But when she began to talk to the mom got offended, went right to the principal, and the principal rebuked her. And you don't think we need to draw nigh to God? You don't see what's happening in the world? You don't think we need to draw nigh to God? What they're doing to our babies and to our kids, and this, I won't get into too much of it, but do you hear and see what is happening to our kids? My God, we better draw near to God. We better draw nigh to him. I'm talking about the spirit of Goshen. It literally means to draw near. What are you drawing near to? Because there's many things calling our names, many things calling you. Sometimes laziness, lukewarmness. Hello, somebody. We'll never go back to sin. We'll never go back to drinking and smoking and doping and all of that. But my God, if we're sitting on our rump and still skin, and we're not teaching Bible study, we're not processing ourselves or slow, we're not leading a small group, we're not crying out to God for our loved ones. My God, saints, what are we doing? Why are we still here? The world needs you. The world needs me. The world needs us. This world is going crazy, and it's not getting any better. If you're waiting for the world to get better, you're waiting. You're just waiting. My God, I gave them all these verses, and they're probably thinking, you haven't gotten to one. I should have warned you I never get to my verse. It just sounds good when people say, give me your scriptures. I said, okay, knowing I'm not going to get to any of them. Praise be to God. Joseph, his brother, hated him. Let's look at this. Reuben convinced him not to kill Joseph. They threw him in this thing. We know that. Joseph was taken to Egypt and all that. So we know that Egypt is a typology of what? Sin. Remember, Joseph brought his family just close enough to Egypt. Goshen. That was the will of God for the moment. That was a land were well-watered. God's people didn't have to worry about anything. But it was never God's intent for them to step into Egypt. It was never the intent of God for his people to get mixed up with the things of this world. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Amen? Now, I teach a lesson in our church. It's called... Well, can I say it, Lord Jesus? It's called Boaz or Bozo. I've tried over the years to help our single women go to school, get their education so they can take care of their own babies and wait for their Boaz right, as opposed to a Bozo. You may not be able to teach that here, but it works good in the hood, amen? It works good in the hood. Boaz or Bozo, so I've been teaching those type of things, trying to teach these young ladies, draw closer to God. Not this man, not that. Draw closer to him. Yes. This is why I didn't want to pastor, because I knew it wouldn't be easy. But Joseph's brothers did that to him, and he went to the pit, the palace, and all that other kind of stuff. Have you ever noticed the life that Joseph went through? And I'm thinking, God, why did you allow that? A lot of us had things growing up as a kid, things that we cannot explain, why God permitted and allowed things to happen. I won't get into all of it, but so much stuff happened to me as a kid, not having a dad there. My dad left when I was two, and my mom was a nurse, and all this kind of things that happened, and she had to leave her job because she didn't have insurance. And so back in those days, there was no W-2. It was welfare. You couldn't have a man in the house. You couldn't have a job. You couldn't own a house. You couldn't own a car. Tell me that's not slavery. So I grew up with, I mean, poverty. Sometimes we had lights, sometimes we didn't. Sometimes dad would show up, sometimes he didn't. Sometimes we had food, sometimes we had syrup sandwich. I can't stand mayonnaise to this day. Sometimes all we had was mayonnaise. I get grossed out. Mac and cheese. If it ain't homemade, keep it. Sometimes that's all we can afford was that. And I watched mom struggle and struggle. And when I got the Holy Ghost at 19, I said, God, why did you allow this to happen? He never told me why, but he said, because I've now made you sensitive. And God has used me to speak to many people. See, he don't always tell you why. You might go to the pit or to the prison or to the, you, before you ever get to the palace. Our job is to believe God. Like that dream I had in 1988. Even though people laughed and they talked about me like a dirty dog, I said, but God said it's coming to pass. I don't care what you say. I believe in God. Listen, saints, listen to me. Please listen to me. God has anointed you to do something. God has anointed you to win the lost. God has anointed you, gave you great preaching. Great singing, all kinds of things. But what are we doing with it? Are we drawing nigh to God? Are we camping in Canaan? God did not call us to camp in Canaan. We got to get out there to the lost. We got to get out there to the highways and the byways. We got to talk to people on our jobs. You don't have to have a big mouth like me, but you can get out there and talk to somebody. The world needs what we got. God, I don't want to keep preaching to the saints. Give me somebody new. Yeah. Give me somebody who never heard this. Yeah. I love fellowshipping with the saints. Don't get me wrong. It's nothing like the people of God. But my God, how much do we need to hear Acts 2:38? How often do we need to hear another message on holiness? Either you got it or you don't. That's right. How often do you need to hear Jesus' name baptism? Take what you know and go out to a world that don't know him. A world that think they're cats and their mama say it's okay. That sounds funny to us, but that's the world we live in. I never thought I would ever live to see two men get married, two women get married. When I heard a preacher talk about that in the 80s, I used to laugh thinking I'll be dead and gone by that time. No, I'm not. I'm still here to witness it. I will never come against anybody. We had a young man to come to our church who was dressed as a woman. His aunt told me he was coming. She said, is he permitted? I said, is he allowed? Is he a soul? Yea, verily he's permitted. But she didn't know. He didn't know I knew. He came in, so I thought, I'm a big joke, so I'm going to have some fun. As tall as I am. And I said, wow, sister, you got some big hands. When she shook my, he shook my hand, I was like, oh, my God, girl, you strong. And I looked down at his feet. I said, boy, what am I size, 15 pumps? He said, 14, ho, 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 ho. Before you know it, he forgot he was in drag. Hallelujah. I did not change my message. I preached the word of God. And some things happened. He was out there on the streets doing his thing. He was shot and he was almost killed. And so I went to the hospital to pray for him. His family didn't believe it. They said, we couldn't get our Baptist preacher to come. We couldn't get nobody to come. I said, but he's a soul. And it took about 6 weeks. But that man went down in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Come on now. He came out of drag. He came out of it. You know why? Because somebody was not afraid to preach. They need us. They need us. My God, they need us. They need us. Who's going to win? Who's going to minister to them? Who's going to minister? I said, God, I told my church years ago, I said, I'm going to come in with a Superman cape. I'm going to have Captain Save a Saint. I'm going to have the wind blowing. I said, my God, I know the church is supposed to be a hospital for the sick and not a museum for those that are looking. But my God, saints, can we grow up? Can we get over the hurt and the pain so we can minister to somebody? Can we can go out and reach the lost? The world don't know us, but we are so hurt. I get hurt. I get offense. I was wounded more in the house of God than I ever was in the world. But I have to tell myself, the saints didn't die for me. Jesus died for me. God, help me to get over my hurt. Help me get over my pain. Help me get over my frustration. Help me to draw near. Let me draw near. Let me draw near. Let me draw near. Because God's love is greater than any hurt and any offense. Hello, I'm talking to somebody. I didn't just come here just to come. I came here for on a purpose. I'm on a mission. Somebody needs to let it go. Somebody needs to let it go. Somebody needs to let it go so that God can use you. Hallelujah. I'm just about done. We know that when we think about Joseph, Joseph was a typology of Christ, right? Joseph was rejected by his brethren. So was Jesus. He was rejected by the Jews. Joseph was persecuted by his brethren. So was Jesus. Joseph had to redeem his brethren from the curse of the famine. Jesus had to redeem mankind, his brethren, from the spiritual famine. Because Joseph was rejected by his brethren, he had to marry a Gentile bride. Because Jesus was rejected by his brethren, he had to marry a Gentile bride. Whew. You can go on and on and on and talk about those things. But Joseph, while he was in the pit, drew near to God. While Joseph was with Potiphar, I believe Potiphar believed Joseph and not his wife. Because Potiphar had a lot of power. If he had believed his wife, he would have had his head hanging on the gallows, letting everybody know, this is what happened when you talked to my girl. He knew what he married. Hallelujah. I'm going to move on because there's things I could say in the hood I won't say here. But he knew who he married. Yes. Hallelujah. Because he did not kill Joseph. He threw him in the prison. Right. Hallelujah. And yet, Joseph came up. From when I studied that, and I look at what theologians, all the really smart people say about it. They said Joseph could go anywhere. They would leave the prison open for him. They knew Joseph could go do things and come back to prison and lock himself in. He was a man of integrity. Even in prison, he rose to the top. When you seem to be in prison, does it bring out the ugliness in you? Does it bring out the meanness in you? Because God knows it does me at times. And I have to check myself. Hello. We don't need a sermon. We need to hear what I got for you tonight. Because we got to kill some flesh in order to have revival. Some things got to die. Amen. Let me tell you something. The spirit, if it's the devil, we can take care of him in 20 seconds. But if it's flesh, 20 years. Because flesh got to be disciplined, structured. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to make yourself not do some things. God is not going to do it for you. But listen, we have the devil show up at our church regularly. We had a young girl that really thin came up and she screamed at me and was getting ready to hit me. I just grabbed her arm. I didn't know she was that light. I pretty much picked her up. And she was talking in another voice. Worship was going on. We bouncing off the walls. We loving Jesus. Nobody really knew. So I said, devil, in the name of Jesus. A lady saw it. Sister Moore came and we prayed her through the Holy Ghost. We baptized her in Jesus' name. Never took over the service. Devil didn't do anything. We kept worshiping God. The church didn't even know till next week. I said, oh, by the way, we took care of a devil. They were like, huh? Because the devil will not get God's glory. I'm not wasting my time on the devil, amen? You take authority of the devil. You command him, he got to go. But flesh, woo! 17 years of pastoring, I'm still dealing with flesh. And they said, well, the devil didn't make you do it. That's you, that's your flesh. You know how I know? Remember the man that was there in Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5? Jesus said, who are you? He said, I am legion. Conservatively speaking, the legion is what? 2,000. That man was filled with at least 2,000 demons. But when he saw Jesus, what did he do? He ran in worship. Somebody who was not baptized in Jesus' name, not filled with the Spirit. He was filled with demons. He saw Jesus. He ran and he worshiped. If the devil could not stop an ungodly man from worshiping, my God, saints, we got no excuse for worshiping, not worshiping God and loving God and honoring God. I'm telling you, we've got to worship. Draw near. The devil couldn't stop one man, 2,000 demons. We'll never stand before God and say, well, Jesus, I would have lived for you, but the devil made me do it. No, all he got is a voice. He can interject thoughts. We can self-destruct, but he cannot get us. Why am I saying? Because the power is within you to get over the hurt, the offense, the pain, the agony, because the world needs your testimony. The world needs to see you. The world is looking for young and old, black and white. The world is looking for everybody. The world needs you, saints. So what are you drawing near to as I come to a close? 1 Peter says this. He says, but you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2 and 9. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We're to be drawn to his light. But since COVID, we've been drawn to fear. We've been drawn to unbelief. I got saints that won't, now we'll go to Walmart, they won't come to church. I'm apostolic. I'm at Walmart 2 times a day. That's how you know I'm apostolic. I find excuses to go to Walmart, amen? I don't buy anything just like going to Walmart because you never know, it might be somebody I know. Me and my stepson was at the gym. I'm trying to get back in shape. I've gotten a little jolly, amen? So I'm at the gym, and sure enough, I see somebody, and he was like, half the time you spend ministering because everywhere I go, I see somebody. The world needs us. I sat in my car last week, and I was listening to Fox News. My mind was blown. What is happening in the world? I won't get political, but I've preached all over this world. I've been in Africa, South Africa, Nigeria with the McLeans. I'm going to Thailand and Burma. I've gone to Antigua, Jamaica, Puerto Rico. I've gone everywhere preaching. Every time I get back to America, I literally kiss the ground. A lot of people are dying to get here, but ain't nobody dying to leave. I absolutely love America with her faults. But as the prophet said, prophet Tom Barnes, he said this, America exists for 3 reasons. To protect Israel. To push back the darkness of hell, the spirit of the Antichrist, and to fund worldwide revival. He said God gave them that back in 1967. America must protect Israel. We must push back the gates of hell. But the only one that could do that is the church. And I don't mean anybody. During COVID, everybody was quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, you should put a period right there and study that out. That literally means to have the name of God evoked over you. to be called over you. The only one in the Old Testament that could do that was the prophets and the priests, not anybody that could do that. In the New Testament, in Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus said it was he who shed his blood for the remission of sins. Amen? The only way that we can actually have the name of God evoked over us is in the waters of baptism and baptized in Jesus' name. So when we quote Matthew, we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, that really isn't for everybody. I love to break down the word of God. It's talking about those of us who have had the name of God called over, evoked over us, that happens in the waters of baptism. Another reason why you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. So that scripture is for us. If we who are called, who've had the name evoked over us, if we are called by his name, if we would humble ourselves, apostolics, hear me, we must humble ourselves. We got the truth. But God is not going to wait on us. That's why Asbury happened. He's not waiting on us. My God. He's trying to wake us up, apostolics. We got to draw near to him. I didn't judge Asbury. I'm thanking God for it. I said, God, make us sanctified, jealous. If there's such a thing. I'll be making up stuff. Like I told the brother, sanctified jealous. I don't think that's scripture, but it sounds good. And I said, God, help us. So what are you drawing near to? I'm going to close this because I'll keep talking. I've had the gift of gab. Revelations 18 and 14 says this. I'll try to quote it. It says this. The fruits that your soul lusted after are goodly, daintily to thee. The things that you long for, you shall find it no more at all. Back in 1986, I was serving God for a year. We had this man come through our church, End Time Revival, Richard Hurd. I don't even know who that is. Some of you may have heard of him. But he kept using that scripture. And it made me think, what am I drawing near to? The things that I love so much. Only thing I wanted was to get an education to help my family. Start a tutoring center. Maybe help the kids in the hood to help them get educated so they come out of poverty and all of this. But because I was so focused, God took it all. I didn't have money for education. When I came to church, I was not strung out on drugs. I've never been high. Never been drunk. I grew up with it, but I wanted something different. Never smoked a joint. Never been drunk. Yet with my super good self, I still needed Jesus. I was still helplessly lost. And I was going after all this stuff and education, going after sports, going after all this. I played basketball and football. I ran track. To this day, I still got the indoor record for the long jump and the triple jump, the 4x4 relay. I love relays. I enjoy it. But God said, your soul is lusting after that. And he took it all. That scripture, Revelation 18, says, whatever it is, you shall find it no more at all. So what are you drawing nigh to? If it's not from God, you will lose it. When my bishop died, absolutely love Frank Tamil. He was a father to me. I was preaching for Brother Pace in Fond du Lac, and his daughter called me, Cheryl. She said, Marshall, if you want to see Dad, you need to come. I said, I just started a revival. I can't. That was a Friday. Saturday, her husband called me. He said, Marshall, if you want to see Dad, we don't know why, but he's hanging on. And I kept praying, God, don't let him go. I get back home Monday, and they wouldn't let me see him. Monday evening, before I teach at a Bible college. Before I went to go teach, I stopped in and said, you got to let me see him. We don't know why Bishop was still alive. And I got in his room and I said, Bishop, this is Marshall. your son. I joked with him. I said, this is your son, the black one. A tear came down his eyes. So I knew he could hear me. I said, Brother Tamil, you need to go. I know you were waiting for me. I said, I will hold on to this truth. I will not let go holiness. I will not let go. I will draw nigh to God. 15 minutes after I left, he died. And they said, Marshall, Dad was waiting for you. I knew it. 2 weeks after that, I have this dream. It was crazy. Anybody know the Kilgores? Brother Becton, all the old ones of Pentecost. It was Billy Cole, Bishop Frank Tamil, and myself. This relay. And the Becton, he was like 90 years old when he passed, but he was right there in his sweatsuit, ready to run. He had a baton in his hand. I'm thinking, what on earth? We were getting ready to race against Olympians. I thought, maybe that's why there's five of us instead of four, because these cats are old. They said, go. Brother, I think it was Kilgore took off. It was Kilgore. He took off first. My God. I mean, this is a fast relay. I mean, the boy was booking. He was running. So I'm getting hyped. I'm like, go, go, go. He passed it to Brother Becton. Wham! And he took off. I mean, we were leaving these Olympians. And I couldn't get it. And I said, Lord, forgive me. The third leg is Billy Cole. Oh, Jesus, we're going to lose it now, Lord. This is my dream. Billy Cole gave us the biggest lead. I was like, this is not making sense. He gave it to Bishop Tamil. Pow. He takes off. I'm thinking, what on earth? So I'm ready because I ran track, right? And I know you see him coming. You take off. You don't look back. You waste time. You just go back and they say stick and you strop and they slap it and you take off. But when Bishop gave me the baton, it turned to a Bible. And God said, I've given you the fivefold ministry. What are you going to do with it? Oh, my God. Whew. Billy Cole gave us a lead. Becton's gave us a lead, apostolics. Your bishop gave you a lead. What are you going to do with it? Are we going to die in offense? Are we going to let this go to waste? I know this is different. I'm loud and bodacious and all crazy and goofy, a little ghetto, all mixed in together. But what are we going to do with this? When I stand before God, that dream going to come. He gave me Billy Cole. I mean, he gave me Brother Kilgore and Brother Becton. I watched those men. I listened to their messages. Then Billy Cole, who influenced me so much. I mean, the anointing on that man and hundreds of thousands receiving the Holy Ghost. That similar experiences that he had. When I was dying, a spirit came in my room. And it said, you're dying. You lost. You didn't win anybody. And I couldn't breathe. A double pneumonia, cancer in my body. And I said, God. And I began to call on Jesus. And he put his paw over my mouth. And I said, this happened to Billy Cole. Loose my tongue that I can whoop this devil. And God loosed my tongue. And he said, you have defeated the Prince of Milwaukee. Have revival. I don't think that I'm the only one. God is speaking to some of y'all just as well. What are you going to do with all of that? What are we going to do when we stand before God after all of this? Let's stand. What are we going to do with it? God, I wasn't educated enough. I didn't sing as good. Or maybe I wasn't whatever. What are you going to do with all of this, saints? There's somebody in your neighborhood, a friend or family. Somebody needs to hear your testimony. God, in the name of Jesus, will you help us, God? Will you help us? Will you help us? Will you help us? God, you've given us the great men of God. You've given us the Bechtons, the Billy Coles, the Stone Kings, the Jeff Arnolds. You've given us the Tamils. Lord God, you've given us the Schumachers. You've given us all these great people. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to draw nigh to you? Are we going to have the spirit of Goshen? Or are we going to be offended? Or are we going to hate? Are we not going to trust? God, you've given every one of us, all of us has been in a pit. We've been in a pit. We've been in a prison. But it's time to come out to the palace, God. God, we love you. We honor you. We thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that you bless these precious people. Anoint them, bless them, honor them, oh Father. Let them draw nigh to you. The spirit of Goshen. Let them draw nigh, God. Let them draw nigh, Jesus. Let them draw nigh, God. Let them draw nigh, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.